All right, it's time to go ahead and get started.
Just got a few announcements to make. Then we'll have a song, and I'll turn the time over to Jack. Do appreciate him coming tonight. He is the minister at the Rossville Church of Christ down in Rossville, Georgia, and been there for almost 25 years. So it's a long time at one congregation. That's very commendable. But he is, his wife and kids, of course, aren't here tonight. He's got four grandkids, and he's getting ready to take them, he said, to Dollywood tomorrow. So I'm glad he came to us before that. But I do want to make mention that Holly Carroll's stepson, Jackson Carroll, isn't able to walk or stand, and so they've taken him to Erlanger down in Chattanooga. So keep him in your prayers, and we'll keep you updated. Also, Brandon O'Daniel's been transferred to Shepherd's in Atlanta to start his therapy. We're thankful for that. Then Aaron Smith, a friend of my son's, his heart surgery went well yesterday at Vanderbilt. But do continue to remember him and his mother, Ashley, in your prayers. Also, Jerry Bancroft has been taken to Vanderbilt due to an infection in his leg. So keep him in your prayers, and as well as Sheila Jones. Carol Long needs someone to take her Friday to radiation treatment. Pick her up about 10:30. The appointment's at 11, and it usually lasts around 45 minutes, and then take her back home. If you can help with that, we've gotten her someone to help the last two or three days, but if you can help with that Friday, be greatly appreciated. You can see me or one of the elders. But again, thank you so much all for being here tonight. Remember, please don't go in the foyer right now. The floors are still drying. They're going to continue this week to put carpet throughout the hallways and some more wood flooring down. So just keep that in mind if you're coming up to the building this week and possibly Sunday. So again, thank you for being here. Let's get started with a word of prayer.
It's good to be here with you. I appreciate the invitation and thankful for the opportunity to be here and look into God's Word and see if we can get a message, something to take with us to not only help us, but to help the Lord's church. It's good to see Gary and Miss Faye, good friends. We miss them at Rossville, and I'm here to try to get him to come back. That's the only reason I came up here. No. Gary, love Gary and Dava. Dava loves me. She took a trip to California, so she wouldn't have to listen to me tonight, I think. That's pretty bad. And the Gardeners, Kevin and Christy. Talking to Kevin about the girls, Grace and Ashley. Remember them from Bible camp? These little girls that are not little girls anymore, are they? They're all grown up. 25 years at Rossville, things change, you know. Been Bible camp director at Fall Creek Falls for 20 years now. That's hard to imagine. But anyway, life moves on. Make a lot of memories, and a lot of memories we can take with us to eternity. Has anyone ever told you, act your age? There's this woman that lives at 98 Joyce Drive in Ringo, Georgia. That's at my house. And she, especially, Christy, when I go to camp, she says, act your age. Now, I don't know why she would tell me that, because they have video evidence of 3 years ago where during the talent show, I was swinging from the rafters. Y'all don't believe that, but it's true. I mean, that is so foolish, you know. But so it's no wonder she would tell me to act my age. What, when someone gives you that advice, I don't think it's advice from her. I think it's an admonishment, put it kindly. What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of telling someone to act their age? Keep you from getting hurt swinging on rafters, probably. You know, there's something about reality. There's something there about identity. I think my wife, who loves me dearly, is trying to make me realize that what's real. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I figure that out every day when I look in the mirror. And I really need to know who I'm. A director of a Bible camp, supposed to be an example for all these children. I'm swinging from the rafters, you know. Who are you, Jack? And so she helps me to remember what's real. She helps me to remember who I am. And you know, the Bible does that. That's the main purpose of this book, is to bring us to reality. It shows us what is real, and it also helps us with our identity. Ryan, I hope I've picked the right, I've gone the right track on this lesson, and we'll see when I get done, I suppose. The Sermon on the Mount, boy, if there's anything that brings us into what's real, if there's anything that helps us with our identity, it's those words of Jesus. Let's start with Matthew, the 5th chapter, and hopefully we'll get to this Good Samaritan thing here in just a few minutes, but let's read verses 14 through 16 together. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." If you're marking your Bibles, you might want to underline that word "you." Circle it, highlight it, whatever. You. You are the light of the world. That "you" is plural. So I think application for us today would be to all Christians. We are the light of the world. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, that I'm the light of the world. But here he says, "You are the light of the world." And he uses two illustrations to help us understand the purpose of that light. First, he talks about a city that's set on, you're a city that's set on a hill. It's my understanding that many cities in Jesus' day would be constructed. One of the primary materials would be a white limestone material. The cities would be elevated. A couple of reasons for that. You would have some coolness on the little higher plane there, and also would help to defend the city. But I think perhaps the main reason, you set this city on a hill, and here's this white limestone, and by day you have the sun radiating down and reflecting the light. So from a far distance, you could see the city, and at nighttime you would have the moon reflecting off of that white limestone, and at night you'd be able to see the city, and the purpose of that would be to provide direction. You would know how to make it to the city. And then Jesus zooms in from the city, he zooms into a house. He says that, here's another, the second illustration, you're like a lamp. A lamp, a little clay pot that they would use in Jesus' day, and filled with olive oil, have a wick, and it would burn, and it would, in the modest accommodations in which the people lived, usually just a one-room house, it would light up the whole room. And the purpose of that, the purpose of light, would be to dispel the darkness. So I think the point here that Jesus is making when he says that we are the light of the world is that we are here to provide direction. As God's people, we provide direction. As God's people, we are to illuminate the darkness. You know, how often do we get disturbed and maybe too focused on the darkness that's in the world? You ever watch the news, you know what you're going to focus on? And the world is dark. The world is filled with darkness. That's why Jesus came. Read the prologue. Read John chapter 1. Jesus, the light of the world, he came into the world. He came to shine into the darkness. That was his role. He came to illuminate the world. And now here in the Sermon on the Mount, he's telling us that we are to be the people who do that. Jesus came to provide light. You know, it's not a new concept. You go back in the Psalm 119, 105, a verse you memorized probably in Sunday school as a kid. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Or is it the other way around? It's one of the two. My memory's not as good as it used to be. There's a direction. And the word, the literal word of God, Jesus the Christ, came into the world to show us direction out of the darkness. He came to illuminate the darkness. When he says, "I'm the light of the world," he says, "Those who follow me, if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. But you'll have the light of life." So Jesus' point here, as we start off talking about what's real, who we are, our identity, we are to be just like Jesus. We are to be the light of the world. We're to show direction. We're to provide illumination in the darkness, to show people a way out of the darkness. And if you You back up here before we get into the Sermon on the Mount. You back up to chapter 4 in Matthew and look at verse 16 as Jesus has just begun his ministry. The middle part of verse 16, prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2, says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light." Again, there is Jesus' identity. There is Jesus' purpose for coming to this world, to come into a world of darkness and be that great light. And now Jesus says that we, as his followers, are to be that same light to the world. So our reality, our identity, the reality is that there's darkness. Our identity is that we're lights to the world, and we're to shine. How do we shine? How do we shine into this darkness? Are we using our light? If we came in here tonight and we blocked off all the light coming from the natural light outside, we turned off all the overhead lighting in here, what would happen in this room? Okay, that's not a hard question. Bill, right? Man, he picked up on that quick. You knew the answer right off. It'd be dark in here. Then what would happen? What? Couldn't find your way around? You got a flashlight on you? Bill's got a flashlight. Okay, it'd be totally dark in here. Bill is going to stand up, and what's going to happen? We're going to be running around not knowing where to go, and that one light will provide enough light for us to take chaos and turn it into order. Isn't that what Jesus came to do? Isn't that what Jesus is admonishing us to do? Are we using our light? See, as Christians, y'all learn a song in Sunday school, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine. Let it shine, let it shine." All the time. Just let it shine all the time. We need to be doing that. That's our primary purpose in life, is to be a light to the world. We can provide no greater service to the world, to our fellow man, than to be a light. Well, how do we do that? Look over at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. We're going to come back to Matthew here in just a minute, but Philippians chapter 2. Here's that flashlight that Bill's got in his pocket that we all need to be pulled out. We ought to have it pulled out all the time as we're living in a world of darkness. Paul says this. He says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning." Anybody besides me have a problem with that? Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Can I tell you something? If I'm living my life and I'm grumbling and I don't like anything and I just question everything that's going on, but question all leadership in the church, if I question all leadership in the world, you know, I grumble. I'm not saying we shouldn't question, but do we need to be people who are grumbling and questioning all the time? Let's keep going here. I don't like that verse. Let's move on as fast as I can. "That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." See, if we are the people who aren't grumbling and questioning, if we're people who are without blemish, and by the way, how do we become people without blemish? It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, "I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. I'm not spotless, you're not spotless, but in Christ Jesus, I am. I am perfect, I am blameless, I am spotless." Only through Him. And then He goes on to say, verse 16, this is important. Make a mental note of this. He says, "Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Hold fast to the word of life. I think there may be a connection there, as we maybe have already tried to establish. There's connection with light and life and the word. Word. That word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Again, thinking about our reality, what's real, thinking about our identity, Peter writes these words. "Heard the words of Paul, talking about being lights to the world. This is what Peter says. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Now listen to this, "that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Chosen by God. We're special to God. And what do? He says we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hold fast to the word, Paul says. Peter says make sure you proclaim the word. What's the best way I can serve people? How can I be a good Samaritan? Living that blameless life in Christ, holding fast to the word of God, the word that's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, that word that came in the form of Jesus Christ, who was the light of the world, that same word that I can have within me. I become just like Jesus. I can become a light to the world just in a similar fashion that Jesus was. Never be Jesus, but in a similar way, do that. What's the best way? How can we serve? By being that sort of person, by being just, that's our identity, that's who we are. That's our purpose in life. You see, as we live our life, we don't live our life like the world. We don't live our life like a world that's in darkness. We don't party like the world. Did you know that? I party. I've been at Bible camp for 2 weeks. I have a great time. I am a kid when I get... Christy, she's got a smirk on her face there, a smile. You know how I am, don't you? See me in action. I love to party. We had ice cream every day the second week because I ordered too much ice cream. Huh? The kids loved it. I loved it. We had sprinkles and everything. We partied every day. Now, that some of y'all looking at me like, man, this guy is old and lost it. I have a great time partying with ice cream with little kids. I'm going to Dollywood. Ryan, I'm going to Dollywood tomorrow with 4 grandkids. He said, "You taking all 4 of them?" By myself. I've been with 150 kids last week. That's no big deal. We're going to have a party tomorrow. We're going to have a fun time. You can party, but you don't party like the world. You see, I know some people that party. And they think they have fun. And the next day, they don't even remember what happened. See, I'm going to remember tomorrow. I remember 2 weeks at Bible camp. I'm making memories that'll last for a lifetime. I'm making memories that'll last into eternity. That's my plan. We don't party like the world. We don't live for the weekend. You know any people that just live for the weekend? You know when the weekend's? What's the last day of the week? But when I say live for the weekend, how is that interpreted by the world? What's the weekend for the world? Saturday and Sunday. Bill, you're on top of it again. Got a flashlight and Saturday and Sunday. Should I not be picking on him? He's just right here. It's okay. I get picked on when I'm at Rossville, so I'm used to it. I'll try to dish it out when I can. The world says that Sunday's the weekend. You know what this book tells? You know what the reality is? The world's not the week. Sunday's not the weekend. Sunday's the first day of the week. Sunday's the day we ought to live for worship on the first day of the week. We don't need to live for the weekend. Let's live for the first day of the week. Let's live for worshiping God. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is we don't behave like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't do anything like the world. Because the world is what? The world's darkness. And what are we? We're lights. We're to illuminate the darkness. Let's go back to Matthew 5:16 and let's see if we can get into this Good Samaritan thing and ask the question or make the statement. Here's why we shine. Matthew 5:16. Let's read that one more time. We've established there's darkness. We've established that we're lights, Jesus himself being the primary light. We're reflecting him and his word. And Jesus here says, In the same way that the city on the hill, the lamp in the house, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm pretty sure that's a command and not a suggestion. Same way, you, same you that's the light of the world, you let your light shine before others so they can see your good works, with the ultimate result being what? To give glory or to glorify God. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. If we're the light, we're to shine, and the purpose of us shining is that God receive the glory. That's who we are. We are lights that are intended, created for the purpose of bringing glory to our Father in heaven. What I want us to notice here, the light is not equated with the good works. We're to let our light shine so that people can see these good works over here. Now, there's a connector there, but they're not the same thing. Sometimes I think I've been confused and thought the good works are the light. I don't know that the good works are the light. It's kind of scary when you study the Bible. Sometimes you find things that you go, I never thought about that before. You do the good works, but you're also light. See, good works and light may not necessarily be the same. I don't think they are the same thing. And we'll try to get there in just a moment. Y'all may run me out of town here any moment. We don't do good works to make the world a better place. We're not here to turn the darkness into light. We are here to be lights who shine into the darkness. That makes sense to you? We don't do good works to make the world a better place. Folks, that's the social gospel that is so prevalent in our world today. We're going to make the world a better place. Jesus came, and when he left, can I tell you what he left? He left a world of darkness. If Jesus didn't do it, who am I to think? Am I so arrogant and maybe naive to think that I'm going to turn the world around? I'm going to be the light that shines into that darkness. It's going to always be dark. There's always going to be sin. So I don't know that we can make the world a better place. Listen, don't turn me off yet. Helping people is good. Doing good for others is good. As a matter of fact, Paul says, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we are to do good. But doing good is not the good news. Are you with me? Doing good is good, and we have to do good. We're supposed to do good. But doing good is not the good news. Doing good is a way to share the good news. You have to have good works, but I also think you have to have good words to go with it. If all we had to do was do good works, this church building would be full tonight. It would be overflowing. You'd need a traffic cop outside to direct the traffic, because I'm supposing that Central is a lot like Rossville, very similar in size, similar people. Y'all probably do a lot of good works in this community, don't you? Where are the people? We have a food pantry. We feed about 56,000 people a year. That's a lot of folks that comes through our food pantry. But we don't have that many people come, you know. Do the good works, but don't leave off the good words. Because without the good words, I don't know that we can glorify God. We cannot direct the attention to God. See, the majority of the people that receive the good works, they're usually looking at the hand. For us in our pantry, it's the hand that feeds them. Oh, you can tell them. People say, thank you so much. You know what my response always is? Don't thank me, thank God. So you got our role as lights in the world, as we do good, is to point people toward God. And here's why I say it's not just good works, it's good words that go with it. Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the works of men. It doesn't say that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. If we don't share the Word of God, We can do all the works in the world, and we ought to do all we can do. But if we never share the Word of God, if we never point people toward God the Father, toward Jesus the Christ, we did a lot of good. And we ought to do a lot of good. But our role as lights is to shine God into the darkness. How many times have you said, I'm guilty already before I tell you this? I usually preach to myself more than I preach to anybody else. Have you ever thought, maybe you didn't verbalize it. I've verbalized it. I've thought and verbalized it. Well, you know, I'm just going to do good and I don't have to say anything. I'll just do good and I don't have to say a word. Is that truth? Is that the truth? I don't have to say a word about God. I'll just go out here and do good to people. That's my role in life. Well, that's, if we never say anything, you know where I think we may have gotten that? You ever heard of a guy by the name of St. Francis of Assisi? A lot of wise sayings he wrote. He says, proclaim the gospel, comma, or conjunction, and if necessary, use words. You cannot proclaim the gospel without using words. We got to do good, but the purpose of our doing good is so we can illuminate the Father. Let that shine on our good works and let that be reflected toward the one who gets all the credit, all the glory. To glorify means to shine, to show off, to reflect, to express the image of an object, to ascribe honor. And again, that's why we were made. That's our image. Genesis chapter 1, most everybody I know, this applies to them. They were created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And if you're in Christ, you are recreated in the image of God. Romans the 8th chapter. So we have the image of God, and that image is to be reflected, is to be shown to the world. Isaiah 43, verse 7, Isaiah writes there that we are created. God says through Isaiah that we are created in that image. We are created for His glory. My only reason to exist on this earth is to glorify God. How do I glorify God? Well, I'm living that life. I'm in Christ. For those of us under the Christian dispensation, I'm living that life in Christ, a blameless life, a perfect life, an honorable life, a life that I can be proud of before God Himself. I'm living all that, and I'm also sharing the Word. Doing good, living good, and sharing the Word of God. Are we ever guilty of not being a mirror, but being a billboard? See, a mirror, that is, we reflect. So I don't have any light in myself, but I reflect that light. I reflect the light of the Father. I reflect the light of Jesus Christ. So I need to be that mirror that lets that be reflected to the world. But sometimes, you know, if I'm really honest to you, maybe I like to see my name up on a billboard. We're really honest. See, I've been guilty of those 56,000 meals. I've been guilty of promoting that and kind of wanting to put my name down here as a footnote, although I didn't do all that. I didn't do any of it. Boy, if you just have my name on a billboard. Good works, doing good to people, helping people. See, sometimes works, there's a temptation for self-promotion. Now, I'm not saying to stop doing good works, but we need to be aware of the temptation to put ourselves first. You know, it's been said at Rossville, and by the way, I'm going to preach the same message at Rossville, so I'm not saying anything that I'm not going to say next Sunday morning. I have said, we have said at Rossville, that our pantry, it's good PR for the community. And it is. It's good PR for the church. Folks, we are not in the PR business. We're in the business of shining light into the world so souls can be saved, so souls can be brought out of darkness. Now, I know there's some public relations in that, okay? But I'm not a PR man. I'm just a preacher. We're all preachers. We're all to share the good news. Go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 11, story of the Tower of Babel. We're all familiar with that, aren't we? You know what got them in trouble? What got him in trouble? I'll let y'all talk now for a minute. I'll take a breather. What? Pride? Self-righteousness? We're going to build this big tower. Genesis chapter 11, verse 41 says, they wanted to make a name for themselves. Am I ever guilty of wanting to make a name for myself? Yeah, I have been. Been there, done that, got a t-shirt and everything, you know? We need to make a name for God. Not that we need to help God, we need to improve on God, but we need to be a people who are showing God off. And the good works is a starting point. Being that good Samaritan, helping other people is a starting point. It gives us a platform where we can then go from there, illuminate that with the words about this great God. Not that God needs any help, but that's what we're in the business of doing. Is making, not making God more glorious, but letting people realize how glorious God is. So we are to display His glory. You know, some people have a problem with that. Y'all ever heard of a lady by the name of Oprah? I don't know if you've heard of her or not. We know about her in North Georgia. I didn't know if her fame had got up to Cleveland, Tennessee yet. Oprah left Orthodox Christianity many years ago because she said that God wants all the attention. That's right. He does. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be on the billboard. But if you're Oprah, you know, guess what? I want equal coverage. You know, we'll give God a billboard, but I want one over here. You ever heard of a guy named Brad Pitt? I think I know who he is. I'm not really that familiar. I know the name. Probably couldn't pick him out in a lineup. He turned from his boyhood faith, I read, because he had a hard time with the reality that God wants him to say that you are the best. Not Brad Pitt, but God, you're the best. Now, those are extremes. But maybe I've leaned in that direction before. I'm pretty good, you know. I've done a lot of good things. I like a little attention, don't you? Folks, it's all about God. It's all about, I've got a little rock on my desk that Lay's Bible class gave me about 4 or 5 years ago, painted on there. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. I read that every single day when I sit down at my desk in front of my computer. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. See, some people have a problem with that. Paul didn't have a problem with it. It's his passion. I got to hurry up here. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, Paul's in prison. He's hoping that everything's going to be worked out, but what he really hopes, starting at verse 20, he says that he won't be ashamed. That is, he won't be ashamed of who he is in Christ. He won't be ashamed of Christ. He goes on to say, but with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored or magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That word honored or magnified, your translation may have, is to make something great, to declare something as great. Paul's whole ambition in life was to make, magnify, declare, honor Christ in his life, or even in his death. It was Paul's passion. He would go on to say in the third chapter, verse number 8, that he counted everything as trash. It's worthless. It's a loss. He would rather know Christ. See, what Paul is saying, it's about the greatness of God, not the significance of man. Oh, we need to do good. Did Paul do good things? You better believe it. We do good things. We ought to do good things. But it's not about us. It's not about our significance. It's always about God's significance. That's why Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that in everything, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should magnify God. Should show off God's greatness. And how are you going to do that? Well, Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as if it were the very words of God, the oracles of God. We need to declare God's word. If you're serving, guess who needs to get the glory? God gets all the glory. And he says in that passage, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, we need to let people know where our strength comes from. Anything that I can do, anything that you can do, is only made possible by who? By God. He gets all the glory. Don't miss God. You know, it's possible. I think it's possible to be a do-gooder. It's not to defame the Good Samaritan, but to do good. The Good Samaritan did good. It's possible to do good and bring no glory to God. Look over at Luke chapter 10. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, but did you know it's got some bookends in this story? First part of that chapter deals with Jesus sending out the 70 or 72, whatever your translation may have there. And when they came back, man, they were just astonished at all the things they could do, all the things they had done. But look at verse 20 of chapter 10, Luke 10. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Were all the things that they went out and did worthless? Of course not. It was good things. But what did Jesus say is the most important thing? Salvation of your soul. The most important thing that we can do for someone is to help them, assist them with the salvation of their soul. And we do that. Oh, we may have to do some good deeds to get to this point, but eventually we're going to have to get to where we have those, not just the good works, but some good words to share with them. So it's the good works and the good words. And the story following this parable of the Good Samaritan, the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus visits their house there, and Martha. What was Martha? Martha Stewart, how I remember that. I'm sorry, I'll have to tell you how crazy I am. Martha, I get them mixed up if I don't have Martha Stewart in there. Martha was concerned about what? Serving. Anything wrong with serving the Lord? Wouldn't you love for the Lord to come to your house tonight and he sits down and you could make him a meal? You could bring him. So what do you want, Jesus? Wouldn't that be great to know you could serve the Lord physically? But what about Mary? Martha said, Lord, Mary's not helping. What's Mary concerned about? Mary's concerned about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary's concerned about hearing what Jesus would have to say. Martha's concerned about herself. You know, what can I do? Mary says, I'm just going to sit over here. Good Samaritan did good. Helped the man in the story. But I think these bookends there tell us there's something that's even more important than that. And it's the salvation of souls. It's listening to the words that Jesus would share to us about life and what we need to know. You see, there are philanthropists, there are benefactors who for one reason or another help people, help a lot of people. They relieve suffering. And you know, there's some of those folks that don't even believe in God. They do a lot of good. And the temptation for us, I think sometimes, that believe in God, the temptation for us is to dazzle others with our good works. I've been guilty of that in my life. I've done good things to kind of show off, to show off me. Have you ever done that? Could I just leave now? I'm just trying to tell you the truth, because I think we're all guilty of that. That mean I need to quit doing good works? No, I need to do more. I need to do more good works. I need to be the Good Samaritan. I need to be the person who's going to make a difference in the world by my good works. But I also, more importantly, need to be the person who not only has good works, but I have good words to share about God the Father and about Jesus the Christ. You see, it's not just our motion, it's our motivation. That's what it gets down to. We need to let our light shine. Do we like to let our light shine on Twitter? Do we like to let our light shine on Instagram? Do we like to let our light shine on Facebook? Can I tell you who might get the glory if that's where we're letting our light shine? I'm not on any of those three. Gary, people at Rossville just can't believe that I'm not on Facebook. You didn't sit on Facebook? No. Missed the whole thing. Didn't know anything about it. I'm not against all that stuff. I just don't have time for it. See, I'm going to do the good works, and I'm going to spend time sharing good words with people. Because I'm afraid if I put it on Facebook, if I put it on Twitter, I put it on Instagram, or whatever else you can put it on, I might be tempted to let me be shining rather than me shining on God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 25. We're the light of the world. And we're to shine. We're to do these good works. Paul writes to Timothy, verse 24, he talks about sin. Some sins are conspicuous, and then some sins are hidden. And he also talks about good works. So also good works are conspicuous. And even those that are not cannot remain hidden. Most of the time when we do good, people know about it. And the things that we try to hide, they usually become known. You just can't hide good works. We should try to hide them. That's why I think, you know, for me to put stuff on social media, do I need to tell everybody all the good works I've done? You know, if I'm doing what I ought to be doing, I wouldn't have time to put it all on social media to begin with because I'm out here doing it. And certainly I wouldn't have time if I'm using those opportunities to share the word of the good words. Don't worry about it being known. It's going to get known. Is my motivation for it to be known that I did it, or is my motivation to be let people know that God did it through me and that He deserves all the glory and not me? You know that light functions best when it's least visible. Bill's flashlight, I don't know how big it is. I don't guess it's one of these big mag lights, is it? Oh, you got it in your phone. That's not a flashlight, that's a phone. Bill, I'm really disappointed in you now. You know, I just knew you had a flashlight on you. I'm just kidding.
I'm carrying the light.
Okay, that's good. Mine's in the car. I don't have it with me. That little light that would light up this whole room, if he shined it right in my face, right in my eyes, would that be helpful or hurtful? You ever been blinded by the light and you try to read? Can't do it. See, light is best when it's least visible. It's least visible. But there has to be light. My stairwell going out to my garage, I had got two bulbs out there in the stairwell. One of them blew while I was at camp. And I'm still recovering from camp, to be truthful with you. I don't know why I'm going to Dollywood. Made a promise to grandkids. When I was leaving to come here, the other one blew. It is dark in that stairwell. But see, I'm brave. I'm thinking, I'll close the door behind me, and I've walked down those five steps thousands of times. I close the door behind me just to see if I can make my way in the darkness. I did. Do you know how dangerous that is? I'm hanging onto that handrail all the way down. I'm feeling for every step. Can I tell you, it's much, much easier to have those light bulbs burning. It's much safer. I can see where I'm going. We need the light in us to see where we're going and not wander around, feel around in the darkness. The world needs for us to shine. So they're not feeling groping around in the darkness. That's who we are. That's what we do. We do good works. We need to be good Samaritans. We need to be known as people. We, the Rossville Church of Christ, we need to keep giving out that food week after week after week after week. But we also need to be known, more importantly, as people who give out good words. And can I tell you, the good words will get you more people into your church building. I know they'll get more people to heaven than all the good works that we can ever do. Don't stop doing the good works, but don't forget the good words that go with it. You see, if we're the light of the world, we'll do both. With The result being, not that we get the glory, but that God gets the glory. We'll read 1 Peter 2, verse 9 again. Which I think is, here's everything I've said in 45 minutes or so, or 50, however long I've been talking, in one verse. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. May every good work we do be attached to us proclaiming how great God is. May we never do a good work without proclaiming the excellencies of the One who called us out of darkness. As we see, the purpose of us doing good works is to help folks. We need to help with the temporal things, but never to the neglect of the eternal. You see, one, well, it's important, but the most important is the salvation of souls. See, I don't want to be known as a Good Samaritan. I want to act like the Good Samaritan. See, it's more important for me that people not know me as a Good Samaritan, but that people know God. Doesn't mean we don't do good works, but our focus, what's real is the world is in darkness, and the light that we shine in the world is God Himself. We only have two alternatives, as I see it. Number one, we can be people who let our light shine. Or number two, we can be people who cast a shadow, a further shadow into the darkness. Because you see, the light has shone on us, and if we don't turn and respond to that and reflect that light, we're only making it more dark. Maybe you're here this evening and you want to make a difference, not just in your life, but in the lives of other people around you. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not a Christian. Won't you turn to Him? Won't you turn out of the darkness? Won't you come to the light? Would you come to the One who came to this earth to be the light of the world, to show you the way to heaven, to give you direction? Would you turn to the One who says, I'll bring you out of the darkness and bring you into the light, and you can be the light of the world now? And you do that through repentance, confession, admitting yourself to be immersed in water, to be baptized into Christ, raised up to be that light of the world. If you haven't done that, you ought to do it this evening. Otherwise, you're just like me walking down that stairwell. Eventually, you're going to fall. Oh, I made it tonight. I made it. I didn't fall. It was a slow go, but I made it. You know, there are people in the world today. You have friends, you have family that are hanging on to that, and they're making it. But one day they're going to fall unless we turn the light on. You know, you could provide light to the world by becoming a Christian tonight. Maybe you're here and you've been walking in darkness. You haven't been walking in the light. Sometimes we do that. And John writes, 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, our fellowship was with the Father, it's with one another, as long as we're walking in the light. If you're walking in darkness as a child of His, won't you walk back to Him tonight? Opportunity is yours while we stand, while we sing.